The afternoon on game night, Habs and Chicago Blackhawks. Here we go. There will be a moment of silence for Rene Angelil before the anthems are played tonight, before the opening faceoff. He passed away today at the age of 73, long battle with cancer. Rod Francis is here. Mitch Gallo is here. Our 7-foot invisible intern Harvey is gutting it out all week. He's going to make it to Friday as well. It'll be the first full week for Harvey, our 7-foot intern. And Pat Hickey will join us from the Bell Center at about 6:30. But right now, it's a pleasure to welcome back to town. I imagine he's here for the Chicago Blackhawks. Pierre LeBrun of ESPN.com and, of course, TSN Hockey Insider. How you doing?
I'm all right, brother. All good. Yeah, RDS flew me in. I did Auntie Champ last night, and first period of mission coming up tonight here. And wrote a Brent Seabrook piece for ESPN this afternoon. And as you know.
And we just lost Pierre. How do we lose a guy who's sitting in a booth?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, what happened there? Somebody pull a wire? Pull your wire?
Maybe you guys aren't paying your bills.
That would be the same company that you work
for. Oh, wait. Anyway, I was just going on and on about nothing.
Yeah, no, what you're doing in Montreal. Okay, so Lanty Shaum last night. Let me guess what the discussion was about. Were you on for the whole show?
I actually only did half the show. There were a couple of former Habs who did the second half of the show, and I did the first half hour. But, yeah, I know. We obviously talked.
Well, let me guess, because I wasn't aware that you were in town. Alex Galchenyuk, leadership on the Canadiens.
Yeah, mostly on Patra. And then we did some, went around the league, you know, talked Kopitar and different things since I was on set. And, it was good. I liked it.
So what did you add? I'm curious, as someone who, certainly follows every team in the NHL, but is based on where you're based. And, mm-hmm. What your sense of what has gone down here of late in relation to a guy who is in his first year as a captain in a fishbowl like Montreal? Oh, man, we're having issues, huh? What's going on there? Is Pierre by himself? Who is...
Sean's around.
I'm back.
Okay.
The faulty headset has been ripped off my head, It displaced a few of my hairs when we did that. But
Now you're pulling a Gary Bettman.
But now, or a Carey Fraser. But Now I'm back on a proper headset.
Okay, don't move.
My take is this, is that, you know, the Canadiens won 13 of their last 18 games as opposed to have lost 13 of their last 18 games. Clearly this story doesn't have legs compared to what it did this week. It would still be a story, but it would have a different connotation to it. And, you know, because this is obviously one of the real fishbowl markets of the league. And at the end of the day, though, I mean, you know, the guy's having a bunch of pops with one of his teammates in his own house. And obviously there's more to it than that in terms of, you know, his girlfriend clearly being upset about something. But I'm just saying, you know, don't you want your young guys to stay home and entertain themselves there as opposed to being in a bar? That's one of my first thoughts, by the way. Mm-hmm. but again, I think the reason that it exploded into the kind of story it became is because it just feels like another check mark on a lot of things that aren't going this team's way over the last month and a half.
And so naturally, a lot of people will point fingers at whomever is wearing the C. And at this point in time, it's a guy who has never worn the C before.
And I think that's totally unfair. I mean, first of all, it's not Max Pacioretty's job to hold everyone's hand and make sure he knows what they're doing every night. Number two, my understanding is when he spoke to the media, I guess on Tuesday, he wasn't asked to by PR. He volunteered himself. He said, let me go out and address this. And to me, that showed leadership. Didn't have to do that. He could have hid behind the curtain. I think Max Pacioretty's been a very good captain. He's still learning on the go, but I think it's ridiculous to point the finger on him. But when you're talking about leadership and the Habs, again, this, I know this is sort of obvious, but it has to be said over and over again. They're missing number 31 big time. And I think in many ways, as much for his presence in the room in times like this than for what they're missing in terms of his actual ability on the ice. And he is the number one leader on this team, but it's hard to lead when you're injured. It just doesn't have the same presence.
Right, and even on the ice, not just in the room, on the ice, you see the difference. His play, it's obvious what he means to the team on the ice in terms of performance, but in terms of other guys' performances, I mean, he just... His calmness is contagious.
Well, it's like an opposing head coach said to me last year. You feel like you're down a goal before the game starts when you're playing him. Well, that's gone now. The other team comes in here now and is feeling pretty good, pretty darn good about themselves because Carey Price isn't in goal. So, you know, I know people are saying, well, you know, so what if Carey Price is in goal or not right now? They can't score. And that's true on the surface. But, again, his presence on and off the ice changes the demeanor and the way in which the rest of this team responds. There's no question about it.
I think it's important. Let me go back to what you said about Pacioretty, who volunteered to speak, right?
Because that's my understanding, yes. I wasn't there myself, but that's what I was told.
I get asked about, you know, looking a certain direction, and that's when you realize that, as you mentioned, in a market like this, it can be tough. But I think in a situation like that, to laugh it off is the best way to do it, because it's ridiculous. We're a team in here. I've played with the core group of guys for a long time. I think if there was a problem, you would know about it by now. So if that's what people are referring to, I've been asked about that off you know, a couple times the last couple days. And the only thing I could say is, you know, it's actually kind of funny.
That is his response specifically to the feeling out there. It's amazing that people's imagination can run wild, but is that there's an issue between P.K. Subban and Max Pacioretty because he didn't react properly when P.K. was doing his thing at the in Tampa that was caught on camera, and the other night when he looked over at him when P.K. was upset after they lost to Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden people are assuming that there's an issue between the two.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I mean, listen, you know, Michelle Therrien talked about this week. They're a family, and sometimes within the family, you know, guys got to get on each other's nerves, or there's tension, there's pressure. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's any issue between those two guys. They're just both guys that are passionate, that care. And right now, it's been a rotten time to be a Montreal Canadian since December 1st, and everyone's feeling it. And they're acting out in different ways, portraying that sense of disappointment and frustration.
Listening to all these sound bites over the week, Pierre, we certainly can appreciate the fact that the Canadiens players, they know the gravity of the situation. That said, if you're going to pick a month to go through this kind of slump, would you not want to go through it in December as opposed to October when the season's just starting, or March and April when you're leading into the playoffs?
Well, listen, here's the thing. If the Canadiens hang on and turn this around and obviously remain, you know, make the playoffs again, this will only make them stronger. I mean, but the question, of course, is that do you allow this difficult passage to allow yourself to come undone? And some teams, that's what happens. Their season goes down the toilet because they can't recover. Other teams, they use this type of moment in a season to fortify themselves, to further establish their identity. And you see that every year. I mean, teams that that get out of the gutter and or actually will point back after a long playoff run and say, you know what, if we didn't go through that, we wouldn't be here now. So the question is that going to be the Canadiens? Or is this thing heading into a tailspin that they can't turn around?
You know, Pierre, we talk a lot about the Canadiens needing to acquire a center iceman. We talk a lot about them needing to acquire a top right winger. Do you think Marc Bergevin sees it as a priority to add someone who has a Stanley Cup ring?
I don't know about the Stanley Cup ring. I mean, I think character, offensive talent, I mean, I think those are important things in his pursuit of a top six presence. And you know, this is an interesting time, I think, for the Canadiens. You know, we keep thinking because, you know, you hear sort of murmurs around the league that, you know, he's obviously working the phones as he always is. But on the other hand, if this keeps slipping down the standings, should you be adding? I mean, do you have to ask yourself the question here if this goes on for two more weeks? I know it's crazy to even have this conversation right now. But
what are you saying, Peter?
Well,
I'm
saying that I think you really got to monitor the next couple of weeks and make sure that you should be in a position of trying to add. That if this thing doesn't turn around, maybe that's not the sensible thing to do. So I think that bears thinking right now.
Well, can I extrapolate from what you're saying? And I'm not putting words into your mouth, but listening to what you're saying, I will PS it, and some other people listening might do the same, and that maybe the general manager waited too long?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
No, I know because, that's not what you're saying, but I'm saying if it's reached this point, then maybe he's waited too long. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, I mean, waited too long. How many trades have happened this year? It's hard. I mean, it's hard to conclude trades in the first half of the year. It's hard because of the cap. It's hard because you look at the NHL standings and no one's out. The sellers haven't established themselves. So it's, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to give you the idea of what it's like to be a GM of a team right now in this league, and it's hard to make trades. That's just the reality of it.
Jim Nill's pretty good at it.
Well, he hasn't made one during this year, though.
Well, he hasn't had to. He's looking down at everybody. He's done his work.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about this, like, in midseason. His biggest moves always come in June, if you've noticed. And that is, to be honest, that is the most fertile time of the year now in the way the cap system has affected transactions in this league. Off-season is the time to strike, in and around the draft, when draft picks are involved. And Jim Neal's done a fabulous job of that ever since he took over in Dallas.
So in the last segment, I was just talking about how incredibly patient Bob Murray has been in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And last night, if you saw the goal scorers for the Ducks, and, you know, it's like, okay, this got to be the turning point here. Like Silverberg, who had that concussion issue after Rafi Torres hit him, he scored his fourth goal of the year. Cogliano scored just his fourth goal of the year. Who's the other? Carl Hagelin, who they got from he just scored his fourth goal of the year. Getzlaf stuck on four goals. It's unreal. Nobody other than Corey Perry is putting the puck in the net for Anaheim. And yet, you know, it appears that they're due to go on some kind of run here. And I know Bob Murray and Mark Bergeron are very tight. They've made a couple of deals together. Do you think he's looking around going, well, I know Plekanec has got more than he's given. I know that Markov can pick up his game. I know that Desharnais has got to be able to produce a little more than he has. Rather than do something I might regret, I'm going to wait a little longer. That's why nothing's been done.
Well, definitely a patient GM is Mark Bergevin, no question. I don't think you'll ever see him make a move out of desperation, no matter what the zaniness is in this market and what the pressure is. He will make a move after it's come after a lot of deliberation and conversation with that team back and forth. That's number one. Now, you mentioned the Ducks. You know, to Rod's question about teams going through something and then getting out of it, if the Ducks somehow do make the playoffs, and they're certainly in a position to do that thanks to that division, would you want to face the Anaheim Ducks if they go through all this adversity this year? I mean, it's the first time they've gone through this, too. All the other years, they cakewalk through the regular season, and then they seem ill-prepared for adversity once they get it in the playoffs. This time, they've had adversity all year. If they get into the playoffs, I would not want to play them in the first round.
It makes absolutely no sense to be at game number, whatever they are, 42 or 43, and look at those offensive numbers attached to some names. You're shaking your head. You're going, it's like a team-wide collapse.
Well, especially when you consider the offensive philosophy of their head coach. I mean, this is a coach who loves offense and stresses offense and stresses go, go, go. So that makes it even more shocking. Now, you know, we've talked about this, but Bob Murray, after his team was one win short of the cup final last spring, didn't like the way they once again gave up a 3-2 series lead. They gave up a 3-2 lead against Chicago a year after they gave up a 3-2 series lead over LA. And he said to himself, something's not right. We don't have that killer instinct. I need to change the mix here a bit. And so he changed a third of his roster from a team that was one win short of the cup final. And, I mean, that takes gumption, man. As it turns out, and he has talked about this with his local media in Anaheim, some of these moves have not panned out. You know, Hagelin has been a disappointment so far. Kevin Bieksa has struggled at times. And you can go down the list, and this is normally a GM that really has a tremendous touch in terms of identifying talent and identifying how pieces will fit with his team. But that was a tough go in terms of what he tried to do last summer. Having said all that, there's still lots of time in this season for a lot of those guys to step up, and that's what makes it interesting.
They've lost just two of their last 10 games. They're doing their goaltending has been really, really good, but they're doing it without Cam Fowler. Does this lead Murray to believe that he can move him?
I don't think he wants to move Fowler. I think he'd like to keep him. I will tell you, though, that they do have depth on defense, and that is an area of which they can deal from. They also have a couple of interesting prospects in San Diego. So they are in a position, because they do draft so well as an organization, that when the time comes, and believe me, from what I understand, he's certainly talked to a lot of teams here over the last couple of months, If he does do something before February 29th, it's because he's in an area of strength to do so in terms of the depth that he has.
When the Canadians were flying early in the year, Pierre, we saw the balanced scoring, including Thomas Fleischmann, who made the team after signing a professional tryout and got the contract from the team, sat out two games in a row now. Do you think he was able to look in the mirror and realized, my goodness, I am pretty close to the end of the career, my career? Do you think that he'll come out with something to prove now?
Yeah, I think so. That's usually the reaction you get, especially from a veteran player. And sometimes it doesn't hurt a guy. You know, I've talked to players who don't admit it at the time because it stings, but will tell me weeks later or sometimes years later, you know what, that one time I got sat, that was pretty good for me. Because watching a game from that vantage point and understanding, again, what you should be doing out there, it's not the worst thing in the world. It works quite often, actually.
We've come to that part of the show with Pierre LeBrun. When is Jonathan Drouin going to be moved?
Your guess is as good as mine, buddy.
I will guess next week. Maybe even this weekend. That's my guess, based on nothing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all I can tell you is that what, you know, from some of the teams that I've spoken to that have spoken to Tampa, the message they routinely get is this trade will happen when Steve Yzerman feels it's right and not a moment before, and there's no clock hanging over his head. So that means it could be tomorrow. Could also be in the summer. I don't know.
I'm going to see you over there tonight.
All right. I'll give you a big hug.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because these guys, I've never gotten a hug from these guys.
I just chewed some gum. I got good breath, too.
Thanks, Pierre.
All right. See you later.
There he is. How about that?
Pierre.
He loves being on this show.
That comes across.
Huh?
Yeah. It is pretty obvious.
Like, who doesn't like being on the show? We had anybody lately who it was obvious once we said goodbye, it was like, oh, that was like a no-show.
Hmm.
Like, what was the point?
Maybe Michel Therrien? Oh, right, it's been 5 years.
No, it hasn't been 5 years. And he enjoyed being on the show.
Yes, he did.
The last time he was on the show was when his first golf tournament, right?
Yes.
He might have been on with somebody else, maybe, who was sitting in for me.
Hmm. Not while I was here.
No. Yeah. No.
It's nuts that he hasn't been on the show.
Yeah, well, TSN 1050 had Babcock on today.
They have Kyle Dubas on all the time. Right?
I'd be okay with not having Kyle Dubas on all the time.
No, with the Canadians, who's Kyle Dubas on the Habs?
No, Rick Dudley?
No, please. He's a more accomplished guy than Kyle Dubas.
I'm saying, in terms of what they do, their roles.
Yeah, but who is the actual general manager of the Ice Caps?
Bergevin. That's his title is general manager of the Ice Caps and the Canadians.
He's the general manager of the
yes,
Ice Caps?
Yes, officially that's part of his title, 100%.